Welcome to Keep It 100 Podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Join us in this space where we take on real issues with real insight and real inspiration. This podcast is for those not looking for temporary relief to change circumstance, but revelation to forever change lives.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Keep It 100 with Sean and Krista.
And it's your boy Sean.
We always love being with our Keep It 100 tribe, and we're so excited for the conversation that we're going to have today with the incredible Lou Engle. Before we get to that conversation, if you haven't heard, I released a free ebook this past week called The Art of Getting Unstuck, 5 Keys to Unlocking Your Spiritual Momentum. And it's a really great book in the sense of I think it has some really practical tools and essential takeaways to be able to really help you get your spiritual momentum. And if you're feeling a bit stuck in your life, it's a free download. And what's cool is it's for individuals, but I've also heard small groups are doing it. It does have some great kind of discussion points at the end of each little section. But it's just a cool free resource that I wanted to make available to people because I'm passionate about people walking the fullness that God has for them.
My mom used to say, for free. Free is good. And I just love that because, you know, when you talk about stagnation, you talk about feeling flat, you're talking about feeling unmotivated, uninspired, basically stuck. There are a lot of people like that. I recently have given some altar calls, seen a lot of people at the altar. So hey, I would encourage you, go to SeanandKristaSmith.com and you can download your free copy of The Art of Getting Unstuck. And it is an incredible ebook. You did a great job, Krista.
Thank you so much. You know, this conversation day, I'm really excited about it. We've known Lou for years. And so why don't you tell our listeners, our tribe, if they're not by chance familiar with Lou Engle, who is Lou Engle?
Lou Engle, he is an intercessor. He's a revivalist. He's a visionary, and he's the co-founder of The Call, a prayer and fasting movement, and has been responsible for gathering hundreds of thousands of people around the globe to pray for revival, to pray for the ending of Roe versus Wade, to pray for a generation to be raised up. He is truly a voice to a generation. He is married and has been married for years to the lovely Therese. He has got an amazing number of children.
I think 7, if I'm correct.
And I used to be on staff with him back in the day. We were on staff together at H-Rock Church with Cheon, and it was amazing. And Lou is just phenomenal. You cannot listen or be around Lou any amount of time and not feel the spirit of Elijah. Come on. In fact, I just mentioned his name. I could just hear him. The spirit of Elijah.
I tell you what, Lou Engle's voice in my life has had some of the greatest impact. So to Keep 100 Tribe, let's take a listen to this powerful conversation.
Keep 100 Tribe, we're so excited for you to hear the conversation with Lou Engle and I. Lou Engle has truly been a hero of Sean and I for decades. His voice truly is a John the Baptist of this hour, and he has been shaking open realms in the spirit for decades. We've had the privilege of running with him and partnering with him. We so believe in what Lou carries, and there's some incredible things God has allowed him to be a part of in our history in this nation. But we're also stepping into a really historical event that we're going to be talking about today. But Lou, thank you so much for being on the Keep It 100. We're so honored to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Krista. I love you. And Sean, many, many years. Thank you for honoring me and put me on your show today.
Oh, absolutely. Truly, when Sean and I were like, we have to have Lou on this because we want people to be connected with you. We want people to be connected with this moment that we're in the spirit. This is a Sons of Issachar moment. We have to know our times, because when we know our times, then we can get in position. And I think a lot of times people are disconnected from the spiritual moments, so we're not always in position. But Lou, I want to share before we kind of dive into what God's saying right now, because I'd love to hear what you believe the Lord's saying and kind of what we're doing. How did this happen where you find yourself leading these tens of thousands? We were just talking before we started recording the podcast. We have quite a bit of history, how you've been doing the calls for years. Sean was a part of the call, their first call in DC. Was that in 2000?
Wow.
So he did the call for salvation, which was amazing. So how did you get to that? Like, what did God do in your life? That origin story. I'd love for our tribe to be connected with you.
Most people don't know this story, but really in 1993 is when it really busted. But it was only the underground quakes, where I went to a gathering and I spoke to a group of about 100 Taiwanese Chinese evangelicals. And the kids said to me, we want to hold an all-night prayer meeting. So the kids prayed and the preacher slept. I slept. But I had a dream, and in the dream, Benny Hinn was on the stage with me, and he says to me, Lou, you're done with the ministry. You can step down. I'm fired by Benny Hinn. I get off the stage filled with joy. I wake up thinking, what a stupid dream. The next morning, I was ready to deliver my message. Right before I get up, one of these Taiwanese high school kids suddenly begins to prophesy. I don't know what he said. And the Holy Spirit invades the room. I've never seen anything. This is pre-Toronto.
Wow.
Kids are slain in the spirit, laughing, encountering God. And I'm thinking, this is so rude. I've never seen anything like this. I didn't even get a preach. I'm sitting there disturbed. I go back to my, after about 2 hours, I just left. Went back to my cabin, and the Lord brought back the dream. Said, and the dream was this, Benny Hinn wrote a book called The Anointing. When the anointing comes, you're done with the ministry. And the Lord wakes me and says, what I am going to do is not about your preaching. It's what happens when you get young people praying. These kids were the Christian club leaders in their schools in Los Angeles. They begin to invite me into their schools, and we started launching high school prayer meetings.
Wow.
This went into a movement called Rock the Nations, where I traveled for 6 years, mobilizing fasting and prayer. And then in 1999, all of that accumulated into one prayer. Lord, how can I turn America back to God? The defining prayer of my life. I knew I had touched God. But within a couple of weeks, this woman comes to me. She says, you don't know who I am. The Lord told me to pay your salary this year because you're going to start something with the youth of American prayer that'll change the destiny of the nation. And she began to pay my salary. And I said, I didn't know what to say to her, but I took her money. I always say that. She paid my salary for 15 years, but 3 months later,
wow,
she said, have you ever thought about putting kids on the mall like Promise Keepers put them in? And I said, ma'am, I prophesied it 2 years ago. She said, I'll give you $100,000 to start it.
Wow.
September 2nd, 2024. 24 years ago, coming right into this time, 400,000 young people gathered to fast and pray. We told nobody who the speakers were or the worship teams. We said, we've had enough personality-driven religion. We need God.
Amen.
And united massive fasting prayer is a hinge of history, weapon in the body of Christ. And so 12 hours, they stayed in the rain, and that began this movement. I remember standing behind the stage, weeping. You know, I led small prayer meetings for years. And then in one day, my prayer meeting came 400,000. I want to just tell people listening, stay in the story long enough. But John the Baptist was in the desert until the day of his public appearance. That was in a public appearance. Mm-hmm. So for the last 25 years now, we've been doing solemn assemblies, massive gatherings of prayer in stadiums. That's how it all began, with a prayer. How can I turn America back?
Wow. And we have seen it. I mean, we have seen the turning. It has been at times slow, the turn. And yet that victory on the Supreme Court level, when the justices voted to overturn on a federal level abortion, that I felt truly that was the fruit of the call's mission. Because what you have stood for, every call that I attended, I have the privilege of attending many calls. And that was such the foundation of the prayer, was overturning abortion. And we have seen the fruit of that on a federal level, that our nation disavowed a spirit of death over America, that abortion has released. And so I thought it was so significant of just recognizing the fruit of what you've gathered and the company of people that you've gathered. And I know that God has put people around you that have had incredible strategy, but we're seeing the fruit today of decades of prayer from this prayer movement.
Absolutely. It was a prayer movement. Everybody was battling, taking a stand against abortion, but our piece of the story was to raise up a prayer movement. We 18 years, Chris, 18 years standing in front of the Supreme Court, mostly fueled by dream, pleading a blood, taking communion 5 days a week, pleading the blood of Jesus to speak better than 62 million babies' blood that calls for a judgment on this nation. We feel God gave us a window of mercy. God actually has given us two great assignments in many ways, and that is the assignment of Roe v. Wade. We've seen that. The second assignment was a prophecy by Bob Jones to me of 1989. Had a trance vision of 100,000 LGBTQ rainbow people being saved and transformed. The love of God would be poured out in this community. And he said, Lou, it's your assignment to break through with fasting and prayer. We've been doing it for 20 years. And now I feel we're in the place that an awakening is coming. And what the hippies were to the 60s, 70s revival, maybe God would do something to display his glory and love. And
come
give
on.
Us another great awakening. So this is kind of my journey now.
Oh, it's so powerful. You know, I so agree that we're going to see that community of people, the LGBTQT community, we are going to see them walk in the full destiny that God has called them to walk in. And I think some of the greatest evangelists, greatest preachers, ministers of the gospel are going to, healing anointings are going to come out of that. Because when you have experienced a lack in your identity, a void in your identity, when you discover who you're created to be, there's no stopping you. And I believe there is orphans that are going to come out of that and that are going to understand the sonship and being daughters of the King. And I believe it's going to fuel an evangelism movement that we have yet to see because of the boldness. When you have a radical encounter, when you've been looking in all the places that haven't been satisfying you and you encounter the genuine love of God, you can't help but share it. And I believe we're going to see this fearless evangelism movement that's going to just go through like wildfire. And I believe the Bay Area is a key in that. What God's doing here, we're going to see that. So I love that you carry that in your heart. And I love that word.
Years ago, I was preaching in San Diego on fasting and prayer and this issue. And a young man stood up, interrupted me and said, you cannot tell us, those struggling with same-sex desire, that we can't have our civil rights if you can't give us the freedom the Bible promises.
Ooh.
It was a gauntlet. And I know God way back there 20 years ago was setting us up to a moment of time when the gospel would come with such power. Bob Jones' word was they would become the greatest evangelists, lovers of God.
Amen. Amen.
And AIDS would be healed.
Amen.
And so I'm just believing the prophets. I'm believing the prophetic word that we're going after this. Which part of that key is what we're doing now. I believe what we're doing now with our own this next assignment.
That's right. So what do you feel like today? You've gone through the decades, of course, of just with prayer assignments. And I know you currently have assignment. What do you feel like God is saying over America today? Like, what do you feel like prophetically is the declaration that heaven's releasing right now?
Well, aside from all the political stuff and all the crazy, I've always had this assignment of revival.
Amen.
And
yeah.
When we were at Berkeley, which you guys hold dear to yourself, the call Berkeley, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you gave me a dream right after the woman came and began to pay my salary 3-4 months after that, before and 6 or so months before the call. And in the dream, I was overwhelmed with the impossibility of seeing America turn back to God. But a scroll rolled down before me, and it was Luke 1:17. I'm reading it. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And in the dream, I didn't read the normal word where I'll turn the children to the father. I read, I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the rebellious to the wisdom of the righteous.
Mm,
and
wow.
I woke up and the Lord said, what I'm pouring out in America is stronger than the rebellion. So So in Berkeley, I prayed and I said, God, has the call failed? Because what's been going on is the rebellion stronger than ever. And he spoke to me so clearly. And your word, even about John the Baptist at the beginning of this thing, and the Elijah's thing, your word, he spoke to my heart. If it truly was the call, a John the Baptist type movement, we're not claiming that. But it was fasting and prayer. And it was Luke 1:17, go on before the Lord. If it truly was a John the Baptist type movement, then you can bet there's a Jesus movement coming.
Mm.
And the last word of John was not prepare the way of the Lord. It was the last word was behold the Lamb of God, and he shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And the Lord spoke to me. Those two things, Lou, I want you to pray and birth. A mass beholding of the Lamb of God.
Wow.
And a baptism of love and fire that's stronger than all the pornographic plague of the hearts in the church, LGBT, the pain. I just sat in an airplane the other day with a young lady sat next to me. We had an open-hearted conversation and she says, I love Jesus, but I can't get rid of this same-sex desire. And I'm crying out to God. I felt like the Lord put her in front of me. And I would understand this is more than an ideology. It's a person. It's people who are millions are crying out for freedom. And they pray so long. And then finally they give up. And I think God is hearing their groans. And I think he's hearing the groans of parents. Senior kids who are radical believers have gone into that lifestyle. And the groans are coming before God like the days of Moses. And God is saying, I've come down to deliver you. It's going to be a mass beholding of the blood of the Lamb. That's why for 20 years, we've been having dreams and preaching something called the Great Communion Revival. The blood of Jesus.
Come on.
Is going to judge the gods of Egypt. The blood is going to wash sin and shame. And then the Spirit will witness to the blood. And I believe there is coming a baptism of the Spirit like the Jesus move. So powerful. Some years ago, Krista, I had this dream. I was walking through the city with a heavy burden metal thing on my shoulders, way down. Occult buildings were in the city. It was all so dark and I was so heavy. And I lifted up my eyes and I saw Calvary Chapel in the distance. And as I saw the love of God erupt out of that church, which was the church, really, of the Jesus movement.
Yeah.
And the love of God, I'm weeping in the dream. I start confessing sin. And I wake up and says, I'm sending a new love song. And he's coming to California.
Come on.
He's going to come to... We saw dreams of Frisbees flying up and down the West Coast. And my friend knew it was Lonnie Frisbee's man.
Yes.
The greatest evangelist of the Jesus movement struggled with same-sex issues. Could God do this? This is what I'm looking to. I'm praying all the time. I'm saying, Lord, I want to fulfill that word, that John the Baptist. Prepare. I keep feeling he's coming. There is one coming. And I was just with Chris Valentin. He feels it's imminent. This revival is not going to wait long. So this is what I'm carrying. And then I'm carrying these women who will take a stand against witchcraft and the powers of darkness that are fueling these ideologies that are coming for our children. So that's what's burning in my heart.
I love this, Lou, because it's very similar to what Sean and I are carrying in this hour, what we're contending for, why we've started Momentum is we recognize as we were traveling, God was moving all over the nation and we'd come back and we'd come back to the Bay. And it's not that there weren't people standing, and we certainly don't claim that we're the ones that can bring it. No one else can by no means. Am I indicating that? But we felt like we are seeing such breakthrough and God break out in all these other regions. We'd come home. We were just like, what about our place? Like, we live here. Like, there should be a move of God here. If God has placed a revivalist in a region, then there needs to be a revival, like, end of story. Like, he positions us to bring a move. We can't be satisfied with our city staying the same, with our nation state. We can't be okay with that. So we put a stake in the ground, open up the gates of revival. And since then, we have seen it. We're in about a year and a half into this. And Lou, it is incredible what we're seeing in the Bay. And it just shows you, it doesn't matter how dark in the spirit it has felt previously. All God is looking for is people that will pray and agree with what heaven is saying and have enough faith to simply say, God, I believe that you are who you say you are. I just believe that you are who you say you are. I just believe your word. And we are seeing God move. Just on Friday night, and I want to toss it back to you. Just on Friday night, we had one of our gatherings. The presence of the Lord was the thickest it's ever been. People would not leave. We actually closed it at midnight. And we actually were like, okay, we need to probably wrap this up because we're using someone else's, you know, using our home church, but it's not our church in the sense of there's custodians and not, you know, you have to kind of adhere by the protocol, so to speak. But our pastor was there. He said he couldn't leave. He goes, I tried leaving. I couldn't leave. And he goes, let's have a conversation that if this just goes and we can't stop it, let's be ready for that. And I said, okay, we're there. We're there in the sense of people are ready to just wait on God and lean into the presence of the Lord. And what's so cool is we heard there was other places around the nation on Friday night, July 12th, The same thing happened. The same thing happened. So I simply want to echo what you and Chris Vallotton are saying. It is imminent. It's here. It is here. This move of God is here. I want to shift, if it's okay, to kind of what we're doing in October, because I love this. I want to share a little bit. In 2021, we were all in Dallas. And there, what we were at Cindy's gathering, and around two tables, you had about probably 15 of us come together, and you said, I'm coming to you as a Mordecai, and I'm calling the Esthers to arise. And we had this incredible conversation. And in that conversation, I shared with you that I had just preached a word that was based off of this research that my mom had shared with me. She had read a book by author Cary Grice, who had done incredible research and had discovered a feminist manifesto from the 60s. And I had just learned of that manifesto. And this was 2021. And I had preached it in North Carolina. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, I shared this with you. And I heard the Lord say, if the enemy can do that with 12, imagine what I can do with 12. You've seen historically what I can do with 12, Krista. And the Lord says, all I'm looking for is the 12 Esthers who will arise. So the Lord told me to preach this word, which I did. I have been. The Lord has moved so crazy on that word. And then I heard Jesse took that same manifesto and gathered influencers, which I love. So when I heard she did that, I was like, that's God genius. And what you guys shared, a fast came out of it, a 3-day fast, which we're all going to be participating in. I want us to talk about that, right? But as you were talking in, this was in 2021, when we were having this conversation, you were as a Mordecai calling the Esthers. This is 3 years ago, if I remember correctly. Yeah, 3 years ago. And now in 2024, it's happening. So it's been like building in the spirit, and it's like pulling the women together for this hour, for such a time as this. Let's talk about what God's doing with Esthers and women in this hour, because it's radical.
Well, you know more than I do, but I'll never forget you sharing that. And then you came and shared it at our 222 conference, which was so powerful. I said to you, and I'll tell everybody else, it's one of the most powerful messages I've ever heard of the midwives, the women midwives that are coming. I think there's two themes in some ways of these women. They really came from two encounters, prophetic encounters, and I'll get to your answer. 2014, I was in a prophetic gathering, and a word came out, and it lasted for 2 hours, and the word was this: a million women will go to DC, and it will be the last stand for America, like Promise Keepers. And they will come in the spirit of Jeremiah 9, for death has climbed through our windows. The children are being cut off from the streets. Teach your daughters to wail, and they'll come and travail, and they'll save America. I believe there's something coming of the womb. This is what I said yesterday in a message in Pasadena. When Roe v. Wade closed abortion, the womb of the women opened.
Woo!
This is what I mean, the womb of the, and I believe on that day, October 12th, there is coming a birthing of salvation, of young kids. Mama bears are crying out. I think that's part of this Esther, where Esther goes before the king weeping, and she says, how can I endure the destruction of my people? On that day, there's going to be ex-rainbow people, LGBT, and they're going to come and they're going to be saying, how can I endure the destruction of my people? They're identifying with millions of women who are struggling in this area. Number two, the call of Esther, which was in 2017, where witches rose up to curse President Trump. Isn't it interesting what is going on even right now? I'm not making this a political campaign or a message. I'm simply saying, I believe that witchcraft rose up against that man, though not a moral man. I think the witches understood that he was a threat to the ideologies of abortion. He gave us three judges and ended that the death altar there at the Supreme Court, which we talked about. I believe these Esthers are coming into a place of influence through fasting. She fasts and prays. Really, I believe as a response to the ideology of Haman that was calling for the destruction of the Jews. When he went into casting lots, what day shall we destroy the Jews? I believe he was tapping into divination, spiritual powers. And Esther, I believe, understood that you can't deal with spiritual powers through politics. You've got to win it in the heavens. And on that 3-day fast, she calls Mordecai to do. On that 3-day fast, something breaks in the heavens, but then she has to go public and appear before the king. I believe Esthers are going to arise to break witchcraft behind the ideologies of transgenderism and things like this. I believe in many ways these are the Ishtar spirits seducing a whole culture. She's sex trafficked. Esther is sex trafficked. She's named after Esther. She's living, literally named after the culture of the goddess. Mm-hmm. And yet God takes a woman out of an orphan, makes her a queen, and a woman out of sex trafficking overthrows the whole system. Mm-hmm. I believe God is raising up women in prayer, fastings. I believe that women are being raised up to lead prayer movements all across America. Jenny Donnelly, trying to raise up 250,000 prayer hubs out of this gathering.
Yes.
Women are going to prayer, and they're going to, I believe they're going to win all these children, these kids back to God. But the other thing is, they're also being promoted divinely because of the crisis. Like the stuff that's going on in our schools, grooming our children. In California, a bill saying that schools, that teachers and schools are banned from telling their parents. You know this.
Right. Yes.
That their kid wants to do transitioning. Mm-hmm. There's coming a new civil rights movement. And I think it's parental rights.
Ooh.
I think women are going to rise up in mass. When you come for my children, listen, I'll go to jail, but there's going to be a revival reformation movement fueled by Esther's, with Mordecai's coming along. So I see these two things taking place. So when I'm in New York the other day, on the anniversary of Stonewall, where the revolution took place, Jesse Green evidently heard your message and was it's got to give you encouragement. You release that message, God puts it on her heart. These 12 women out of New York that bring forth this whole manifesto, she brings together 65 influencers. Women influencers who reach up to 30 to 50 million people. I end up speaking about this Esther movement that's arising. And I said, I'm a Mordecai. I'm waiting for Esther to command me to call a fast. Because that's what happened in the book of Esther. A 3-day fast. Jenny Donnelly talks to Laura Allred, they whisper, we're doing it. This is called leadership. 29th, 30th, and 31st of July. What if 20 million women rose up out of that group alone to fast 3 days? It said, God, break these the spirits behind these ideologies, and then mobilize your armies. I think we're in an extraordinary time. I don't know if I've answered the question, but that is.
Oh, you've answered it beautifully. Like, what I love is there is this group of women across all denominations. What I love about this, kind of all walks of life, that are getting commissioned by heaven right now to reenact a righteous women's movement. Godly women arising. And I love it. You said, you come after our kids, like the mama bears arise. And I know Jenny, I don't know if Jenny was the first one that said it, but I feel like that's who I really heard carry that anthem of mama bears arise was Jenny Donnelly. And right when she said it, it's like, you know, when you hear a statement or when someone's preaching and it rattles your spirit. When she said mama bears arise, I mean, my spirit rattled because I thought this is a generational stance. This is a generational moment. And you use the phrase, Lou, which I want you to elaborate on that. This is the last stand for America. I want you to kind of break that down. That statement is so sobering, but also so evoking within us. It provokes us, right, to move into the positions God has for us. Because when we understand if this is the last stand, there is no option to say no. There's no luxury to put it off. Like we have to understand this is the moment. It's like Esther had her window. Mordecai had the window. This is the moment. This is that liminal space, the in between. Because remember at Esther, it's like the edict had gone out, but it hadn't been executed yet. There was a liminal space that Esther and Mordecai had to respond within that to overturn it. And it happened. But it's like, here's our moment, this last stand moment. When you're saying that statement, what has the Lord said about that?
Well, I was told of a feminist book, a woman researched transgenderism. She says this, she researched history. Every civilization that adopted transgenderism, that civilization collapsed in the time of that adoption. This is where the political realm, which really is really critical. God judges nations on behalf of their leaders and what they open up. When Manasseh opened the door and began shedding innocent blood, God said, I'll forgive you, Manasseh, as an individual, but I will never forgive this nation for shedding of innocent blood.
Yeah.
So when the nation begins to want leaders that adopt these kind of Haman types bills, kill the Jews, then we're in a last stand moment. Why would God raise this Esther movement if so sovereignly, if we were in a last stand? Because Esther's story is a last stand moment. We have become so used to prophecy that we have a casual approach to it. And I've said casual approach to prophetic brings casualties. I believe we're in a desperate moment. I've been said we cannot have a transgender president. This is what I've said, and maybe this is kind of a political statement or whatever, but really it's a moral statement. President Clinton was the president who opened the door to abortion. He and Hillary launched it worldwide. This nation is under great judgment. Number two, when President Obama got in the door and came in and lit the flag colors on the Stonewall anniversary and received that ideology, I believe something swelled. President Biden, when he made the woman of the year a transgender woman, he opened a door, and this ideology now is flooding through the whole nation. But I believe that Esther is the girl, the woman of divine reversals. I don't think we can move beyond this. I think we're in a last stand. Guys like Lance Wallnau said to me, I feel like we're in a last stand.
Mm-hmm.
If we are, then everyone comes to the mall. Everyone takes a stand. Everyone begins to lift up their voices. And I'm just trying to, in my own heart, just trying to be shocked by the moment. Sometimes we're so dull to be shocked in the moment. Fear the moment. I've watched Dune. Fear the moment. I feel we're in the fear the moment time. So, and who would have guessed that we would be mobilizing this Esther movement for 4 or 5 years, really since 2017? Who would have guessed that October 7th would come? And a worldwide explosion of anti-Semitism would take place. We're in a global Esther movement. We have received a call from a leader from Egypt that is a part of leaders of prayer in Asia and the likes. They have 110 million intercessors. They called us and they said, we are very concerned for your elections and we're very concerned for America. We are going to raise up one day and raise up 110 million people to fast on September 22nd for America. I wonder if the world is more concerned than we are.
Wow.
We've been drugged. We've been pacified. We become used to evil. And these guys are understanding America is critical to the whole world right now. And I think we're going to do this. I think God is going to help us.
There has been such a shaking among women, as many women that have become ambassadors, myself included, of the Million Women Movement and the sphere of influence God's given us. We've really used that to be able to share and call women to awaken into the moment, to get into position and to gather for October 12th. We're asking people to really understand the significance of this moment, that this is a righteous women's movement, that God is calling the Esthers and the Mordecai. This is not just for women to gather on October 12th. It's for men to gather as well. It's the families to come together, as we're seeing the demonic agendas over our nation be shifted and reversed in the spirit as we gather. Imagine the power that's going to come as we collectively pray for 12 hours on October 12th. I'm so expectant for what is going to happen. I really believe, Lou, as I've been praying for October 12th, there's going to be signs in the natural that things have shifted in the spirit. But I just feel like we're going to have signs and wonders as we gather that day that will be undeniable of what God is, how God is responding as the Esthers come together on October 12th. I think it's one of the most important gatherings of my lifetime. And I think that what's interesting is there's been such a spirit of distraction that has been so unleashed in this hour that it's been almost like I've had to stay so connected to the heart of it. That's why the Zooms and the connections have been so important, I think, for women, right? Because you get busy and distracted and I feel like God keeps calling us back and going, stay focused on this. Stay focused on the assignment. Don't miss what I'm speaking to women in this hour because you're busy doing things in my name, but you've got to stay focused on what I'm doing.
You know, Christian, I think that's so important. I preached yesterday on the Nazarites in Pasadena. They consecrated themselves intensely in seasons of time when the nation was in crisis, and they were the ones that turned the nation back to God. I preached because I feel like even we're 3 months out right now.
Right.
And I feel stirred. I'm going to New York, to New York City, and a team of us are going to fast there for 40 days. I feel what we began with a story 24 years ago. It's Psalms 24. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord with clean hands? This is
clear
a time
heart, yeah.
to remove the distractions and say, yes. God, give us the greatest revival that we've ever known. Give us a freedom breakout, a baptism, a mass beholding of the Lamb of God, where the evangelists are going to see so many thousands.
Yes.
Can you imagine a million women and their husbands and the likes, men, singles? But can you imagine having communion on that mall with a million and millions online? I know there's going to be probably millions online. But we're calling them together. Can you imagine lifting up the blood of Jesus? I've pondered that passage where Samuel has gathered the Israelites to repent in a solemn assembly at Mizpah. And suddenly the Philistines hear about it. And they rise up to go to come and attack the gathering. I think this spiritual warfare upheaval over the next 3 months is going to be beyond anything we've ever seen. It started even with this assassination attempt.
Yeah.
This is upheaval. But what has happened? They say to Samuel, pray for us. So what does he do? He offers up in a sacrifice a suckling lamb. Mm. And the Lord thunders against the Philistine armies, the powers. That wasn't even the Lamb of God. It was a symbol. What if we lift up the Lamb of God? The Bible says that the blood of Passover didn't just save their families, their lives, their families. It judged the gods of Egypt. I am believing when a million women lift up the blood of Jesus, a shaking in the heavens, a power will. Jonathan Kahn called me or texted me, and another man named Yaku, I don't know, Boyans, an amazing voice for sex trafficking. He says, aside from one another, on that day when the Esthers gather, Ishtar will fall from her throne over America. And this is when we begin to see the jailbreak of people getting saved from sexual addictions and the like. I'm believing for it with all my heart.
I am believing with you. Sean and I are so with you. We are committed to just stand and fast and pray. I'm so expectant for what God's going to do as we gather on October 12th. And that fast that begins on July 29th for 3 days, I want to encourage our Keep 100 tribe to participate. This is for men and women. It's called Fast for Female. But if you're a man listening, you're like, what does this have to do with me? Everything. Because I believe the kingdom of God has called for men and women to come together to both walk in the fullness for who God has called us to be. And if one of us isn't walking in the fullness, then God's full story isn't being lived out. And so all of us have a responsibility to contend for one another. So as we're fasting for a righteous women's movement and men coming alongside that is so powerful, women, of course, partnering with that and believing for ourselves, but also much bigger than us, for our daughters and our daughters' daughters and for the next generations, that we're changing that demonic decree that went out of the 60s. Right. And we're undoing the 60s and the tentacles that the enemies have been pulled throughout history. And we're rewriting history as we gather together in this hour. I believe we're in a moment, Lou, where history will be rewritten.
I do too. I'm so gripped by this. I feel on that day that even Jewish rabbis have said that Yom Kippur is connected to the Day of Atonement, which is, I mean, it is connected to Esther.
Right.
Purim is connected to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. It's the casting of the lots. When Haman cast lots and was defeated by Esther, they said that the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is connected to that. It's when the casting of the lots, which goat would take away the sins of the whole nation?
Whew.
It has to be on the Day of Atonement, where on that day, literally, the sins of a nation can be removed. Now, sin doesn't stop, but a mercy rather than a judgment can be released on Yom Kippur. I am believing that a day can shift history. And so I'm completely with you. You've been a catalyst to this. And just pray that God would show us what to do on the day.
Yeah.
I hear this day after day. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I keep crying out to God. I can't have a good day. Something's got to come down from heaven.
Yeah, amen.
It's a solemn assembly.
Yeah.
Esther was a solemn assembly. And by the way, when he said fast for female, that's what came to my mind. Fast for female. I love that because we're fasting for this Esther, this women's revival movement and reformation movement. But really, in the book of Esther, when she said, called Mordecai, mobilize everyone. So men and women, fast. Mobilize them all. And what did she say? Fast for me. Mm. I'm going to the king. I want to ask people to fast for that day.
Mm. Yes.
We go before the king and he makes his decrees from his courtroom in heaven.
I'm stirred. I'm stirred. I'm stirred every single time I'm around you, Lou. I love what you carry. I love who you are. I love God's anointing on your life. It has provoked generations. It's provoked my generation. I don't know who we'd be as a nation if you hadn't said yes. And that's not to flatter you in any way. It's simply to honor your sacrifice. And I just want to thank you for your life, your laid down life. You have paid prices I probably cannot imagine. And yet you keep saying yes to Jesus. And you're the one, you're the Mordecai that called the Esthers. And it's a joy to see the Esthers are responding, right? They're saying yes, but we needed the Mordecai. It's just like in the Bible. We needed the Mordecai to come to us and say, don't think. If you're just going to stay in your little place, if I'm translating it to modern day scenario, if you stay in your nice little bubble, if you just make sure that you're good, that God's not going to raise someone else up to bring deliverance. Because God's going to bring deliverance in this hour. It's not if God's bringing deliverance. It's who he's going to bring it through. And what I love is the Esthers are saying, use me, God. Use me. I don't want to miss out on the assignment.
Well, I didn't ponder that. You just hit me because I haven't even pondered that. It will, if you don't do it, but God's going to take care of it. Boy, that puts confidence in my heart. I just read a book by Bob Sorge. God is still writing your story. And he uses one statement that has rocked me because he's the author and the finisher. He said, you can rest in the divine mastery of his penmanship.
Wow.
Oof. He's written a story about Esther. And he says, even if you don't, I got another idea, but we can seize our moment.
Yes.
We'll go to heaven and say, we were there.
Right.
God shifted history.
That's right. What a privilege.
Thank you.
What a privilege that we get to be there. Lou, we love you so much. Is there anything else you want to share with the Keep 100 tribe?
I would say I have hope for San Francisco.
Yes, right. Amen.
I did a 40-day fast about San Francisco, and it shifted my whole life. And a song was written by Christine Mueller, Keep Hope in St. Francis.
You'll be
a free man yet.
Yet.
Francis means free man.
Yes.
And my son led a prayer meeting and Roger joined me up facing the Castro district, weeping over that community. And I just believe that God is going to make San Francisco a testimony of his power, faithfulness, and love. Come on.
Amen.
I so encourage you. You've locked in there. That gives me hope for St. Francis.
Oh, we are so expected for what God's doing in the nation. And thank you, Lou. We're following your lead is what we're doing. You've trailblazed this beautiful posture of faith of just believing heaven. And we've had too many words over San Francisco to give up on it. And like you and so many others have just prayed and fasted and contended over the Bay. And we're picking those up and we're saying, yes, God, you're going to move in our city. But I want to encourage Mark, Keep It 100 tribe. If you want to stay connected with Lou, I know you probably want to hear more from him. He's incredibly, has a lot of resources. Lou, how can people get connected with you?
Go to amillionwomen.org. Just simply amillionwomen.org. Also, I encourage you to go to don'tmesswithourkids.us. This is the mama bear stand. Don't mess with our kids. It sounds kind of radical, but it's actually quite quick Christian. Because when Mordecai took a stand, he set in motion a worldwide demonic rage against the Jews. One man who took a stand. What if millions of women would begin to take a stand? What if Mordecai's took a stand? And then our ministry is Lou Engle Ministries. I don't even know if it's .com or .org.
Google Lou Engel and you'll find it. And that's where your resources are and possibly your speaking itinerary and different things like that. Cause I know people would love to come out to your services and stuff.
If you Google me, you'll see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that's just part of the storyline. Thank you for letting me put this.
Oh, we're honored. And if you want to financially sow into the Million Women, go to millionwomen.org. Sow in your financial contribution. We're raising up funds to be able to pay for this. We just believe God's going to pay for this. There's going to be no debt. We just want this to be free and paid for because we believe God wants this gathering.
Can I just say this? We haven't had money. We're 3 months out. We need miracles. But yesterday,
come on,
a dear friends came to us and said, we want to do $1 million matching fund. And if there are those who would help us do this, if we could raise $1 million for the matching fund, I believe it's the beginning of a great miracle. We've been crying out and the Lord, he's been faithful everything that we've done. So thank you for letting me share that. I hope that was okay.
Absolutely. We're going to show up no matter what, but we don't want a bill at the end of the day. Lou, thank you for taking time. I know you have such a busy, busy schedule, but the fact you'd come on our podcast to be with the Keep 100 Tribe, we're honored. And I can't wait to see you in October. I will be there with my group of women from the Bay Area and we are going to be representing California.
And you'll be on that stage with us.
Can't wait. I would be honored.
You're a true Esther.
Thank you. Oh, I'm honored. Love you, Lou. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks. So
much. That was incredible. I'm inspired. I'm stirred. I want to show up. Ooh. I want to go all out for God and believe God for just a mighty revival and a mighty gathering of souls in this generation.
Ladies, I really encourage you to make it a priority to join us October 12th at the Mall DC and gather for the Million Women Gathering.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Keep It 100 podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and refer us to your friends. And be sure to click that subscribe button so that you're alerted as soon as new episodes drop. Help us get the word out. Share this link on your social media platforms and check us out at SeanandKristaSmith.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Sean and Krista Smith Ministries. We would love to hear from you on how this podcast has impacted you. So be sure to show us some love.
Hey, join us next episode. And remember, relief may change your circumstance, but a revelation will change you.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Keep It 100 podcast with Sean and Krista Smith. Keep up with us on Facebook and Instagram and SeanandKristaSmith.com, where you can discover more resources. If this podcast has impacted you, please subscribe and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Keep it 100.